There is also sometimes violence from the Palestinian side. Here you can see a picture of a Palestinian boy who's picked up a stone and is throwing it at Israeli soldiers and jeeps at a demonstration. And I include it not because stone throwing has anything to do with my work with IWPS, it doesn't, but first of all because it is the reality. There are stones thrown at these demonstrations. And second of all, to give it a little bit of perspective. So the stone throwing that you see here is used as the justification for the mass imprisonment of young Palestinian men who are put in jail for throwing these stones. And well, I would agree that a stone is definitely a weapon, right? You know, you can kill somebody with a stone, no question about it, but we don't get much sort of context in which these stones are actually thrown. So for example, this boy, he hasn't sort of gathered up a bunch of stones and snuck across the border into Israel to stone as many Israelis as possible because he hates Jews. This boy is in his village, and he's watching jeeps and bulldozers surround his village, uproot his trees, and build a wall around his community. And he's picking up a stone and throwing it at those jeeps, at those bulldozers. And I guess I would just ask you, you know, if someone were to come into your home and start carrying out your television, and then your stereo, and then your computer, at one point would you pick up a lamp and throw it at them? You know, it's not about justifying, it's about being realistic. What would you expect of yourself in that situation, and how does it compare to what you expect of the Palestinians in the situation they're in right now with the wall? Like I said, many of these kids end up in jail. Here are five kids from the village of Marda, near where I lived, and a jeep was raiding their village one night, and they threw stones at the jeep. No soldiers were hurt. In fact, very few soldiers have actually been hurt by these stones because they're usually thrown from very far away for fear of being arrested. And in fact, these five kids were picked up for stone throwing and put into jail for 6 months. More than 340 Palestinian children and 9,500 adult Palestinian political prisoners are being held in Israeli prisons today. More than 10% of these are what are called administrative detainees, which means that they can be held without charge indefinitely. And I was once walking in Ramallah where I found a silent procession of people holding photographs of their loved ones being held in Israeli prisons. So they asked me to show them to the people of America, so that's what I'm doing. About 40% of the entire adult Palestinian male population in the occupied territories has been detained in Israeli detention. Torture and humiliation are systematic, according to Amnesty International. And I guess what I find so incredible is that in spite of the systematic imprisonment of Palestinians involved in violent and nonviolent resistance, in spite of the checkpoints and the roadblocks and the settlements and the outposts and the wall and the land confiscation, in spite of all of these things, that Palestinians continue to resist, continue to stand up for their rights. And the finale of my presentation is a slideshow of photographs that I and my colleagues took at demonstrations that I think sort of illustrates what I see as the incredible resilience and strength that remains with the Palestinian people. It is really this resilience and strength that gives me hope for the future, and that's why I'd like to share it with you now. Thank you.
I fled my village. The stern gang drove my family from the lands. We ran into the desert, where I've spent these decades living by my hands. Life in Haifa wasn't easy, but so much better than this hellhole with the soldiers and barbed wire and the closures and the hunger, the humiliation and the checkpoints, the machine gun fire. Each day I wonder, after Haifa, the home that we abandoned when the Zionists had won, is there a family with a child? Does its father love it as I loved my only son before the soldiers shot him down, riddled him with bullets in his back and in his head, home in Haifa, in my house. Does his father know the pain there is in an empty bed? I fled my country, left the Tigris River for this foreign place. I had to leave home, I didn't want to, but they were rounding up the leftists and the papers had my face. And my son, a student leader on the streets of Baghdad, was nowhere to be found. So I walked through the mountains, just the shirt upon my back, knowing not where I was bound. Now here I am, this town of Haifa, in this little house, but at least I'm still alive. And each day I wonder, how is Baghdad? Would I recognize my friends if any did indeed survive? It took a long time, but I made a life here, and I wish my son could be here in this town upon the shore. I was with my wife, it was the Sabbath, when an old Arab couple knocked upon our door. We asked them in, gave them tea, 'cause that's what you do with strangers. We could see they meant no harm. We told our story, they told theirs, us of our life in Baghdad, them of their family farm, and of this house which they once lived in, where once they raised a family long before their hair turned gray, and of their son and the troopers, and of ours, whom we still cry for every day. So much in common, so much gone bad, so much running and never coming home. You can hear the cars falling down, see the faces of the children forever forced to roam. And here we were in this house, fearing that tomorrow would be just like yesterday. So much resentment, so much at stake, and I really don't remember who was the first to say, in one world, in one village, in one home, let us live together. In one world, in one village, in one home, let us live together. In one world, in one village, in one home, let us live together. In one world.
If you found this presentation moving, if it made you angry, I think that's good, I think that's appropriate, but it's not enough. Palestinians don't need more people feeling sorry for them. They need people to take action on this issue, and here are some ideas for taking action. First of all, do your own research. You know, you don't have to take my word for it, but go beyond mainstream media sources. Go to Palestine or support somebody who is. But you don't have to go to Palestine to be effective on this issue. You can get involved locally. You know, join a divestment campaign based on the divestment move used against South Africa during apartheid, saying as long as you're committing these violations of international law and human rights so systematically, it won't be us who pays for it. You can join a Palestine solidarity group. You can write letters to your local media if you find that what's reported is biased. Call or write or even visit your representatives. Tell them what you think. Let them know that their constituents care about this issue. And finally, talk to your friends and family. Ask people in your community, do they know about the wall? Do they know about what's happening in Israel and Palestine? You have the power to affect people in your community, so use it to ensure security and peace and justice for all people in the Middle East, no matter who.